guys. Welcome back to Flickers of Fear. And on today's movie review, we're going to be talking about some British horror. This is the movie Kill List from 2011. Now, ever since, I can't believe this came out all the way back in 2011. Holy shit. Now it's like, well, I feel like ever since it came out, I've been hearing about how good it was, and I just somehow never got around to watching it, and I was just kind of like, yeah, I really need to get to that someday, because it keeps coming up on, like, every single list of, you know, best horror movies of the 2010s, best British horror from the last 20 years, best this and that. So I was just kind of like, okay, well, I really, really have to watch that. So finally, Shudder actually added it a couple weeks back, so I was like, okay, well, now I don't have any excuse, so now I'm for sure going to watch it. And I have to say, this was pretty kick-ass. It's kind of hard to talk about without spoiling, because I will say it does have a quote-unquote twist ending, and I know that that was, you know, even though this was a pretty universally, I don't want to say universally, but a very widely praised horror movie, I think the sticking point for a lot of people that made it kind of like divisive was the ending, because this, and for some reason, like, even though it came out back in 2011, I was somehow miraculously able to not have it spoiled for me, which I thought was kind of neat. So I didn't actually know, like, where it was going. You knew it was going in a weird direction just because of the foreshadowing and stuff, but you weren't entirely sure where it was going. So I'm actually glad that I didn't know, because I think it's better not to. Like I said, this does seem to be, but the ending of it does seem to be the thing where some people are just kind of like, eh, I liked it up until then, and then they kind of ruined it, or it got too, I don't want to say silly, because it's not, but, you know, it got too weird, or it went too out there, or whatever. But honestly, I really liked the ending, so, like, you know, your mileage may vary. Like I said, I don't know if I want to spoil it or not, although some of the comparisons that I could make about it probably would spoil it, so I don't even know if I'm gonna, I don't know, we'll figure it out when we get there. But yeah, so as I said, this came out in 2011, and it was directed by Ben Wheatley, who also did the quite rad A Field in England, which I need to, I've seen that, and I actually need to do a review of that as well, because that's actually a really good movie too. This one is really kind of a different thing though, and honestly, it's a horror movie, it's very violent, but I think I would call it more of a crime thriller, but it kind of goes more horror-y, like, in the very last, like, the third act. So it's still, like, legitimately a horror movie, although for most of it, it's kind of like, you know, I've seen it, the first part at least, compared to, like, kind of like Ken Loach or, like, Alan Clark, you know, type movies, where it's just kind of like, I don't want to say like a kitchen sink drama, but it is kind of like a crime thriller with a lot of kind of interpersonal shit going on in there, like between friends and between like husband and wife, and honestly, all that stuff was great. And when I was like reading the Wikipedia page, apparently what they, like, Ben Wheatley, when he got all the actors on board, they basically, he didn't really, like, he had a script, obviously, but that he let them kind of all develop their own characters. So a lot of the stuff in the movie that you see is them kind of ad-libbing, because they were so familiar with their characters and with the other actors' characters that, you know, they'd spent so much time working on it that they were able to pretty much ad-lib all their lines. And honestly, I think that was something that really went toward making this such a great movie, is that all the interactions in it are very natural. They're very, like, organic. Like, you can totally believe that these are real people. You know, these two guys are, like, really friends. This is really a husband and wife. This is, you know what I mean? It's just very, very organic the way everything is done. And so it didn't surprise me when I found out that it had all been largely ad-libbed just from them working on their characters, like, before they shot it. So the story of this, there's two guys, Jay and Gal. Now, you find out pretty quickly, and like I said, this isn't a spoiler because I think this is even in the description of the movie, that both of them are hitmen. They were both in the British Army at some point, and a lot of things are alluded to in their past, and I kind of like that they leave a lot of stuff ambiguous. Another thing that I read too was that Ben Wheatley actually filmed a lot of the stuff that's referred to in this, like, oh, that job they botched, like, back in Kiev or whatever. They filmed a lot of that, but then in the end, he took a bunch of it out because he thought that it would be better to leave everything kind of ambiguous. And I think that was actually the right decision, because This is another one where I think would, if you watched it a few more times, you would probably pick up a lot more stuff, because there is a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of foreshadowing in there. Like, a lot of the conversations they have in the beginning kind of come to fruition later on. And I'm not sure, you know, I think it's one of those ones where, like, if you watch it more times, and that, like, you'll pick up, like, you know, it'll be this much richer experience. You'll pick up, like, all these other details and stuff. But yeah, so Gal, he seems to have been doing the hitman jobs, like, all along, but Jay hasn't done one for 8 months. So he had, I guess for that last job, he made, like, £40,000, but it's gotten to the point now, like, he has a wife named Shell, and they have a son who's, I can't remember how old the son is. I kind of feel like he's maybe 8 or 9, or maybe he's a little bit older. They're kind of running out of money. And Shell is just kind of like, look, you've been laying around this house, like, being lazy and doing nothing for 8 months. And he does stuff like, he's like, well, I need money to, like, fix his hot tub. And he's like, I need the hot tub, like, for my back and all this other stuff. And then, like, he'll go to the grocery store and buy, like, 20 bottles of wine and no toilet paper. It's like, he's that kind of stuff. So he's just, like, this kind of schlubby, you know, lazy dude that sits around. So yeah, so him and Shell, like, at the beginning of this, are just at each other's throats all the time. Now, Shell, it should be noted, she's Swedish. Well, she has a British accent, but she speaks Swedish to her mom on the phone, and she says later that she served in the Swedish military. So she is absolutely aware that Jay and Gal are hitmen, and it's kind of, I don't know if they're implying that she did it too, or if she's just kind of, like, okay with it or whatever, because she's definitely, like, trained, like, in shooting and stuff like that. So it could be, but like I said, that was another thing they kind of just left. Maybe, maybe not. But they're having, like, a bunch of fights, and she's like, look, we're running out of money, and you really need to, like, get back to work, because you've just been laying around. So they have this dinner party, and Gal shows up with this new girl that he's been seeing named Fiona, and stuff gets kind of, like, they drink a lot, and then stuff gets kind of tense, and Jay and Shell get into this massive, massive fight, and it's just this big, embarrassing scene. But then after, they drink more, and everybody just kind of, like, chills out about it. Now, Gal basically says to Jay, he's like, look, I have a job. You still are welcome to come back and do it with me if you want to, and we'll go back. Because they used to work together all the time. And so he's like, it's 3 people. You know, they'll give you a list of 3 people, and it's, you know, however much money it is. So Jay finally agrees to do this, because, like I said, he's out of money. Now, as they go about rubbing out the people that are on the kill list, I should note, too, that something kind of, like I said, and this is one of the things early on in the film that sort of, like, hints that things are going to go in, like, a weirder direction later on, is that Fiona, the girl that Gal brought to the dinner party, like I said, they've been dating for a while, but he doesn't know her super well. She says she's in human resources or whatever, like, she fires people. And during the dinner party, she actually goes off to the bathroom, and she takes down their mirror and scratches this weird symbol in the back of the mirror, and then puts the mirror back on the wall. And then there's, like, a piece of toilet paper that Jay used earlier because he, like, cut when he was shaving or whatever, and there's blood on it, and then she takes it and, like, tucks it into her bra. So you're kind of led to believe, she's like, okay, well, obviously she's into some weird shit, or she knows some shit that's going on, or she's maybe not the person that you think she is. So they kind of, like, plant seeds like that early on. So basically, like, the bulk of the film after that is Jay and Gal going about fulfilling their contract, which is, like, 3 people. And just like, it's kind of like I said, like a lot of, you know, British crime thriller sort of thing, where it's like, you know, the screen will go black, and it'll be the first victim is, quote unquote, the priest. And then they kind of just show them. So they'll be, like, in their car, like, shooting the shit or whatever. And they're, like, watching the priest. And then, you know, when they go in and do the job and everything like that. And then the second one, though, you know, the first one goes, you know, without a hitch, everything's fine. The weird thing about that one, though, is that before he shoots the priest basically just, like, looks at him like he's not even, like, upset about it. Like, he's not even mad about it that he's about to get killed. And he basically, like, looks at Jay and says, thank you. And Jay's like, okay, that's a little weird, having people thank me for then I'm gonna bump them off. But okay, this some weirder shit's happened. But yeah, so that one goes fine. But then the second one, the second victim that's on the contract on the kill list is called the librarian. And what ends up happening with this guy is that for whatever reason, Jay, who it's sort of implied that the previous 8 months, since he had done his last job and he'd just kind of been laying around and living off the money that he made, is that he really maybe doesn't have the stomach for it anymore, or maybe he's kind of maybe losing it a little bit. Like he's having a little bit of an, I don't know if I want to say a nervous breakdown, but he's not real mentally as sharp as he used to be, I guess. So they've kind of implied that that maybe that's why he was kind of getting out of it. Like he's having some, he seems to be having some issues keeping control of his anger. So they do kind of lead up to that a lot. And like I said, he does kind of fight with his wife a lot going up to this point. So even though the first kill goes fine, without a complete without a complication, when they go to do the second one, the librarian, they're actually watching him. It's like staking him out. And he comes out of this warehouse. Because the thing about it is that the guy that gives them the kill list or gives them the contract, he doesn't tell them why they're killing these people. He's just basically like, here's their name, here's their picture, here's where they're gonna be. You figure out when's the best time to pop them or whatever. But he doesn't tell them why they're being killed. So they go and the librarian, they're watching him and he comes out. And for whatever reason, Jay's kind of like, I'm gonna go in that warehouse where he just came out of. Because he's, I guess at first, maybe he suspects or maybe he's curious as to why they're killing this dude because he said he doesn't look like anything. He said he looks like nothing. But then the other guy's like, well, yeah, they always look like nothing. So why is this dude different? But what ends up happening is that they go into the warehouse that he came out of, and there's all this videos and stuff in there. And you're led, they don't show them to you, but you're kind of led to believe that maybe it's like snuff films or, human trafficking type stuff. And whatever they see in those movies makes Jay so angry that he's like, I'm not only gonna kill this dude, I'm also gonna kill all his associates that we found who were totally not even on the contract. It's like a freebie. And at this point, like I said, up to this, it's kind of just been like a crime thriller, where it's just like kind of a lot of domestic drama, a lot of the friends hanging out, stuff like that. It's a very grim tone. It's like, it's funny, but it's funny in the way that like some British crime thrillers are funny. You know what I mean? Where it's just like the interactions between the characters are funny. At this point, when he goes to the librarian's house, to kill him, then it starts to be not funny anymore because this scene, wow, this is one of the most, he basically beats the dude to death with a hammer. And so he's breaking his knees and he's breaking his hand. And it's just like, and I mean, like I said, I know it's fake, it's a movie, but even I was watching the movie going, God damn. I was like, that's fucked up. It's pretty fucked up. Honestly, the way they did the special effects, I was like, it looks like he's actually beating the dude with a hammer, and it's just fucking crazy. But see, even before, after he beats the dude in the knee and stuff, so the guy's still alive and everything, but even though he's doing that, this guy is doing the same thing that the priest did, and he's saying to Jay, he says Gal goes into the other room to do something, and the dude, the victim, says to him, it's like he doesn't know who you are, does he? And Jay's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he starts saying, it was nice to have met you. And then he also, when he starts beating him with a hammer, he keeps saying, thank you, thank you. And he's like, what the fuck? Why are these people thanking me for killing them? I don't understand it. So it's like, that something really, really weird is going on. Then they actually, that went so awry. He made such a mess, in the kitchen. Like I said, normally, the priest, you just pop him in the head. They had all the plastic out already, so they just popped him, rolled him up in the thing, and then threw him in the incinerator or whatever. And it was just it was super easy and clean. But this one, obviously, you beat somebody to death with a hammer. Pro tip, you're gonna leave a huge mess and a lot of evidence. So Gal's just pretty much like, what the fuck is the matter with you? And then for Jay to be so angry at what he saw in these videotapes that he's like, I'm not only gonna kill this guy, I'm gonna go and kill his associates too, which wasn't even part of the package. So obviously he's starting to lose his shit. At this point, Gal's like, look, maybe we can get out of the contract. You obviously are not you know, ready for this anymore. And it's just kind of like, we're going to get in trouble. And, you know, maybe the guy will just, if we find replacements to kill the last guy on the kill list, you know, maybe he'll let us out of the contract. Spoiler alert, he doesn't. So they basically have to go through with the last thing. So as I said, I really don't want to spoil how this ends because, and honestly, if you've seen it, let me know if you liked the ending or not, because like I said, the ending does seem to be kind of divisive, but I will say, as I said, even though the first and second act of this are basically a straight up super violent British crime thriller, the last act of it goes in a much more, horror direction. I was going to say the subgenre, but that'll just ruin it, so I'm not going to. But all the stuff that, like, what everybody was saying to him the whole time, like, before they killed him and stuff, like, before he killed them, like, thanking him and, like, saying they don't know who you are and stuff like that, all of that plays out, like, later on. But as I said, it's kind of left ambiguous as to what, like, necessarily, like, what the reason was, what, so like I said, it's really, really hard to, like, say without spoiling what it is, but if you know, you know. Like, if you've seen the end, you know what I'm talking about, and I'm curious to know, like, how people feel about the ending of this, because I thought it was good. Like, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a cool way to end it, and I didn't really see it coming. I mean, I kind of did, because, you know, you knew something strange was happening because of the weird way that people were acting, like the weird shit that Fiona was doing with the mirror and, you know, the weird stuff people were saying to him, like, before he killed them. So you knew there was some kind of, like, bigger plot or, like, some bigger thing going on, but you didn't know exactly what direction it was going in, and I thought it was, like, really cool not knowing. So I probably am not gonna spoil it, but I will say that I thought this was great. I thought this was, like, a great, very tense, very violent movie, and it's like, you know, I tend to like British horror anyway, and I like British crime thrillers also, and this seemed like a good amalgam of crime thriller with a more straight up horror angle, like, toward the end, and I thought it was really, really well done. All the character work, fantastic. All the acting was great. Like I said, very, very natural and totally believable. Like, I totally bought into the family dynamic. I totally bought into Jay and Gal being, like, best friends who would, like, work together tons and tons, and, like, all their banter back and forth, like, really funny, but, like you could tell that they were best friends and they loved each other and they'd, like, been through some shit together and stuff like that. And it was just, like I said, I guess because they worked on their characters so much that they were able to just, like, ad-lib, just, like, you know, like they were regular people, and that's exactly how it came across. So all the acting in this was fantastic, and like I said, the violence is, it's not wall-to-wall violence. Like I said, it takes a while, actually, for that really bad, like, that hammer thing to happen. Hammer time. For Hammer Time. But when it does happen, it is very, very violent. It's one of those things where even if you've seen, like, a lot of slasher movies and stuff, you know, watching somebody get beaten in the head with a hammer, like, and it looks real, that's still, like, kind of hard to watch. So if you don't really like violent shit like that, but, like, you know, really realistic, then maybe this wouldn't be your cup of tea, because especially that hammer thing, holy crap, that was just, like, that was, like, really, even I winced, I have to say. And like I said, I've seen pretty much everything, but yeah, I winced seeing that. And like I said, it looked really, really real. But yeah, so let me know if you've seen it. It's on Shudder at the moment. Like I said, I'm sure it's probably on other streaming services as well. And I'm glad I finally got around to watching it, because like I said, it's been out for like fucking 10 years. And I guess I kind of slept on it like all this time. I kept seeing it get recommended. And I was like, I love British horror movies. I should probably watch that. And it's like, but it just took me so long. But then finally Shudder added it. So yay, I finally got to watch it. And it's great. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Just a great, great movie all around. Very enjoyable. So yeah, so if you've seen it, tell me what you thought about the ending. If you're going to spoil it in the comments, I guess maybe put spoiler and then put like hit enter a bunch of times, something like that. So it's like people don't want to know. But, you know, it's like I said, it's kind of hard to talk about without saying what that ending is, but let me know. Did you like it? Did you think it was dumb? Just, I don't know. I'm curious to see how everybody felt about it. So yeah, that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.